Hey, this is Reno.
Hey, I'm Keith.
What up, is Danny?
Hey, this is Chris.
And this is Larry, and it's all bad.
As you might have noticed, there's no more ads on this show. And that's possible because of Patreon and guys like you and gals. So please subscribe on Patreon. We got special gift for you, and tell a friend.
Thank you guys for coming out. You know, Keith has been trying to get you on for fucking for
Larry
a minute.
Fucking sidestepping.
Yeah, I'm scared. They call me Scary Larry.
Oh man!
But Larry's from Covina, like me.
Oh hell yeah!
And
the sobriety capital of the world.
They call it that, huh?
Yeah.
No, they don't.
At the fire,
they do.
They got a fucking rug on the wall.
Once. Yeah, they have a rug on, like a custom made rug on the wall that says. That says Covina, the sobriety capital of the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
At the 502 Club, right?
Yeah.
That's where it all started for me. So
Is it?
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Well, yeah. That's cool.
When did you go there? In the 80s?
No, not the 502 Club. Getting high.
Getting four cards.
That's what I'm talking about.
What was the first thing you either of you got high on?
So, well, I'll say I was just thinking about it because it was Covina. There was a kid down the street my best friend ended up being. His dad was a sheriff, and they had the D.A.R.E. program. He was a part of it. You remember the D.A.R.E. program?
Yeah.
You remember in school they'd come up with that big board and they'd show you all what they had?
Yeah.
You know, all the drugs. It'd be up to, you know, all the way to the PCP, and then they'd show, you know, the pipes that they made. You know, it's like, but he had it up in his garage, up in the rafters, and we pulled a couple joints off of it. On the way to school.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It was a sheriff that he ended up being an Altadena sheriff that I met later on in life. Yeah.
Wow.
He arrested you later on in life?
Yes.
And it was real weed.
It was weed, yeah.
It was real weed.
Real weed. We smoked and got high on the way to school.
That's crazy.
Seventh grade. I was in seventh grade then.
Wow.
And you think about that. They're literally bringing actual drugs into school. Why wouldn't they just roll some oregano up in there?
Yeah. And we were trying to get more out of it, and we got caught by the sister told on us.
What about you, Chris?
I've been fucked from the gate. I remember going to my friend's house after school, junior high, without any drugs, and we'd fucking sit back, go in his living room, and hyperventilate each other.
Model glue, how about that?
Take that those breaths, and then somebody holds your fucking chest, and before you know it, you pass out, you're on the floor, your head's fucking scratched. And you're looking at everybody like, where the fuck am I? And then you realize, like, fuck, that shit fucking hurt. These fuckers laughing at me.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, let's do it again.
Yeah.
And so that was even before I got high. And it was like, we used to steal Southern Comfort from the liquor store because it was shaped in a spot where you could put it right in your nuts.
Yep.
Yeah.
And just go about
flat and skinny.
Yeah, right? And just go about nothing square. Just that little flat little.
That's true.
Right? It would fit right in. And just go about our business, man. So, you know,
get yourself a pack of Randy's wired rolling papers.
Yeah,
so you smoke the roach.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can hold it. Yeah, I remember that.
They still make those or no?
That was awesome.
I remember there was like a little liquor store in Corona where I grew up, Mr. G's Liquor. And they had, it was a couple old burnout dudes that owned it. But they had, like, they were stoners, so they had, like, all the new shit back there, and they had Randy's wired rolling papers. The papers were shit, but they had the roach thing, so you could smoke the roach.
I remember it. I remember the little, you could hold it,
On that hyperventilating thing, though, trippy story, I used to work for this clothing brand, and this dude came through there, this really famous surfer, I don't want to say his name, to give, like, a talk, something, whatever, and, the story, he had this like really like, you know, uplifting, like positive outlook on life story. But dude's son died doing that hyperventilation. He was a famous surfer from the 80s. I mean, you just probably have to Google it. But his son was doing some stupid shit at like a prep school with a bunch of buddies and fucking died doing that shit.
Dude.
So you're lucky you're here with us today, Chris.
Yeah. Amen. By the grace of God.
Yeah. It wasn't the PCP, it was the breathing.
So the weed and the Southern Comfort, and then we're pretty fast after that. It got to the heavy shit or no?
I remember weed, obviously, a little bit of cocaine in high school. And I remember having this really, really painful breakup, right? And it was like I would just be obsessed over it and all that pain and like, you know, all that, like, just, I couldn't get it out of my mind.
The rejection and all that,
all that. It was like, keep me up at night, my first thought in the morning. Yeah. And then, like, we started hanging out, me and my friends, and did a little bit of crystal and,
just a little bit. Bitch.
Some non-habit forming crystal.
How'd you do it? Were you snorting it?
Snorting out before the pipes came out.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember.
Well, if he's calling it crystal, you knew it was how he
did it. And it was a crystal.
Strictly snorting.
It was pink, right?
Yeah.
It was the powdery shit, and, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I love that
and
shit.
And I remember, like, not obsessing on her for about 2 or 3 days. And I would just kind of go about my business. And I was like, damn, I didn't even, like miss her, you know. And then with that drug comes a lot of, like, you know, extracurricular activities.
The freaky
and, you know,
like, what are some of the
some of the women that come with it, some of the, you know, the adventures, some of the
vibrators,
you know, the sex that you have 4 hours at a time,
side quests,
all that other stuff, like, you
towel off and do another 4 hours.
Those early shit is what gets you, man. The first couple times,
it's great. Like, the first few times,
amazing. It's amazing. Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's like the 4th of July every day. You know, it's just amazing. It's amazing.
No shit, huh? You're like up. It's like 4:30. You're like at a 7-Eleven in the parking lot, just smoking a fucking Marlboro Light.
Oh, like, with a wife beater, steam coming off your body. You're the only one steaming.
Invincible, invincible.
Yeah. Dude, I remember before I was really into it. I remember being at that 7-Eleven on fucking citrus and, like, you know, like Badillo right there. And, dude, this dude comes in. This is in, like, 90. This dude comes in, no shirt on. Covina across his chest, nipples pierced. Like, I mean, like, straight out of the joint. Just all sweaty and shit. I was like, ooh. Like,
on a good one.
Just hit the gate.
When was the first time you did crank, Larry? You remember?
So, yeah. Well, you know, so, yeah. There was glass. There was this, you know, I had a heroin problem early on. So,
before Chris
started, how old did that?
When I was like 16, 17. Oh, shit. Methadone line.
Really?
Hollywood, yeah.
How'd you get,
like, I had like two sets of friends, you know.
Who else did heroin in Covina?
Not too many people, but I met people in Pomona.
Oh,
I used to go to Gary Bowl and shoot pool and smoke some PCP with this girl. She said, try some of this, and it was on.
Yeah.
But let me go back. It was oil, that black Afghanistan oil. I used to smoke it. We used to do DAGs. Used to have a pipe, you know, we used to heat it up, you know, heat to get the pipe red knot, and then get the paper clip. And I used to get, you know, Gerber jars for $200 from this Armenian guy, you know.
Full of
heroin? Yeah,
and $200. And it was the oil, and it was the heroin?
It was that
oil?
Black Afghanistan. We used to call it Black Afi.
Wow.
And we do DAGs. We used to call it DAGs, like, you know, just a shot. And then you get the pipe hot and you hit it. You just, boom, you hit the pipe and it's just good. But I didn't know it was opium in it. You know, I didn't know it was like, you know, and all of a sudden I got this habit. And he gets arrested by the feds. I go over there and he's all taped off and it's like, oh, shit. And
you didn't go in there and see if there was any shit left?
No, I was like, one of them things. It looked bad. You know, like,
that's only some shit you do after you've been in the game.
I did that shit. Yeah, I got
met a guy in Pomona.
My bicycle's in there.
Met a guy in Pomona. He, you know, over there by 12th Street, and he had that black, and I was smoking it, and he said, "Fuck smoking it," and then bam, that was it. You know, the comfort. Yeah. You know, bam, and then glass. Like I said, he's talking about speed, so. 17, 18, you know, the glass was around. But when I was like, so I'm going to say 4th and Grove. That's my story, you know. 4th and Grove was when I found out phenyl-2-propanol, you know. This is the good. It was
B2P.
Like, yeah, it was the peanut butter, you know. It was like, and
it
I had it again.
Smelled, man. That
oh,
shit's...
man, cat piss, you know. It was like, oh, that shit was good.
Just, that cat, you want to take a shit right now?
Yeah, I just talked it right now. But, you know, it was about, I had a heroin problem that day, and this girl, I'm waiting on the connect.
What year is it, like, 85?
This is like 82. No, this is like 81. I was like, I was like 19, 20. 4th and Grove, I'm in Ontario somewhere, man. Some stolen car out front, you know, I'm all just waiting on this guy to show up, and he finally shows up, and she said he's the connect. That's all I knew. And I'm talking about, you know, I thought it was heroin. I'm waiting on the heroin. And he comes in, and he does this whole, you know, lays everything out. Like, I don't know if you ever kicked really hard.
Oof.
And you got to wait on somebody. Like, so I wanted to kill him. I wanted to stab him in his neck because he's taking so fucking long. And then he hands me this outfit with 35 units or so of this amber shit. And I'm like, what? You know, like, dude, I got a gram habit right now. I said, I got money in my pocket. Just, you know, give me a real one. He goes, just do that and then we'll work it out. I hit it. Bam. You know, it was like, I thought it was, you know.
Oh, it wasn't heroin.
It was phenyl-2-propanol.
Oh, wow. Oof.
And I couldn't catch my. It was like this. It was just, and I had to throw up. I just, you know, everything was coming up. And it was in some garage, and the mother was in the front. She was watching everything that happened. And I come out of the store like this. I got all twisted up in the hose trying to clean it up. And she comes out, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, we're going like that. And the guy, and I gave this guy, I don't know how much money. He handed me, you know, a bag of that dope. And I went out to the stolen car, and I had this, like, fake key that, you know, was supposed to. I couldn't get it in the car, and I just got out of the car, threw the key down. You know, I didn't know what to do, man. I ran a couple of circles, and I just took off. And I just walked up Euclid. I walked until I hit the mountains, and I turned left. And I was going to Pasadena. That's where I knew I was geeked. And the reason I knew I was really geeked is when I was walking down the street, you know, and I'm chewing on this shit, too, by the way. I'm chewing a little bit of it, you know, because I don't know why, but
chewing
I'm
chewing on what? The dough?
Speed, yeah. The speed. I'm eating it. And I guess I probably looked, you know, like, because if cars were coming by real slow and he can hear him go, what the fuck? Like, what? You know what
I'm saying? Oh, shit.
So I knew I was going to prison, right? I knew I'm going to fucking prison. So I just head for the hills, you know, and I just turned left and
turned left on foothill like, or something.
When you hit the mountains,
I just went to, like, to the back.
Oh, Euclid.
Dude, I hit those, all the mountains going all the way to Pasadena. I went through. When I showed up at my mom's house, my mom was gone. So I knew I could get to this house. And it took me a day, right? A fucking night and a day to get there. And I mean, I've never been so beat up and scratched. And I had blisters on my feet.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was, you know, using hose water to, you know, and, you know, running because people are, and there's cars following me and there's, you know. But I don't really know what happened, right?
What was real?
But you're walking in the woods up in the mountains,
dude,
right?
I was beat the fuck. I mean, my mom finally came home like 2 weeks later, and I'm still, my feet were peeled back from the blisters.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's like 18 miles.
But that was the best slam I ever had.
But you walked nonstop, right? From Ontario to Pasadena.
Like, it was nothing. It was nothing. I wasn't tired. I was just thirsty. Because I was thirsty.
You just stopping at hoses.
Every hose, water, you know, doing this.
Yeah.
But didn't you walk right into the pool when you got there?
Yeah. I jumped over the fence, my mom's fence, and walked right into the pool. Clothes and all, just like finally I made it, you know, like.
This dirt ring.
And I just remember looking in the mirror going, what the? I was just scraped, you know? I was just like, because I was going through bushes and.
Oh, because you wanted to get off the main road. So you just followed the foothills.
Behind houses. I was like going behind people. Whoa. The lights were coming on. Dogs were barking. And, you know, just imagine this like monster going through.
Oh, my God.
You know, there's a good book, man, called.
Jurassic Park?
No. That's close. That's close. No, it's called The Watchers. Dean Koontz.
Yeah.
The Watchers.
I read that.
Yeah. So it's about that animal that's trying to find. And he actually goes through the same neighborhoods. As the San Gabriel Valley, he comes from Diamond Bar. But anyways, it reminds me of me.
That's a trip.
Yeah,
that's a trip.
Yeah, that was my first good one.
That's your introduction.
Yeah,
and that got you.
And I chased that shit ever since.
Yeah.
45 years later. Yeah.
Free from that, the kick was no longer in your head after that, huh? Like, I mean, you were
Trumped
sick.
Trumped it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That was like it was like. I wasn't a heroin addict anymore. I never really got into.
Wow.
I was my shit. So I looked for it. That stuff in my pocket. I went and got me an outfit. And I remember, you know, after my mom going, "What's wrong with you?" You know, I was a different Larry. You know.
Yeah.
I was way different Larry.
It's really wild how even just doing it that way makes you so different. You know what I mean? Like all of it is poison, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm like who I am right now. Like. You know, outgoing and talkative and chatty, and then I take one hit off the pookie, and I'm like,
it just
do a line, maybe do a line. You're a little chatty still, but like as soon as you slam that shit, you're just like,
fuck, yeah,
it's so gnarly.
I never slammed it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a whole different trip, man.
This you started smoking it though, right?
Never slammed it. Almost slammed it. Never slammed it.
I was gonna slam it right before I got to Impact because
I was snorting it and doing hot rails, and people told me, they go, man, that's the gnarliest high.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought it was mellower than smoking it.
Hot rails?
Hot rails were
no.
Cool.
Hot rails were cool because I remember the first time I did it, I was like, I fucking, because you know, you take a line and then you blow out smoke, and I remember thinking, like, holy shit, I'm like a fucking dragon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, this is a fucking like,
that's some shit you do like, on you like day the whole 2.5, day 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really need that shit to like fucking shit. Hit you hard, you know?
Yeah, that was dope.
Yeah.
Just the action of it doing it.
Like, yeah, it was fun.
The science
and you
of it.
Had yeah. A, yeah.
Totally.
I had a friend that had
it blew my mind when I got showed it. I was like, what the fuck?
And you knew that had a, he had a like a pipe that went into both nostrils, right?
No.
And then you heated up a thing at the bottom and we'd get it red and then you put it in both nostrils and you go.
Yeah.
Dude, what about when you get it too hot?
I've seen that before.
And you snort it and it fucking burns your nose.
That's why I won't do it. Like I just won't do it. I'm always fearful.
You gotta have a pro that just heats up the tip.
Knows how to do it.
Then the tip catches the tip, and then whatever gets through, you just kind of is like a little bit like warm.
Get a little
like
thing,
not crazy. But if the whole thing's heated up, it gets all.
I had a glass pipe and like because you know you have your little kit, your backpack full of shit, but
baggy full of empty baggies.
I didn't smoke it, but I got in this hot rail thing and. I trade somebody dope. I think I've told this before. And it was like the top of a Crown Royal Christmas bottle. So it was the Crown Royal crown, but like a bottle topper, right? You know, like for a bar.
Mm-hmm.
So I had
like
the little
a
thing.
Cork in it?
No. It looked like a crown. Yeah, it had a rubber stop in it for the bottle. But the top had the pourer out of it.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah, so,
right.
But
okay.
When you turned it, it would light up like Christmas trees. The jewels on the thing.
Someone showed you that, and you're like, I'll give you a line for it.
No, I did. And I mounted it to the top of a glass straw. And a dude, me and Larry know, Rocky, right?
Yeah.
I'm a Rocky and Flanagan. I'm like, he goes, let's do a hot rail. I go, cool. And I fucking open this bag and pull it out. He goes, what the fuck is that, right? And he heats it up, and he puts it up, and you, dude, there's Christmas lights on this biker's face. He's like, this is fucked up.
Christmas lights.
He's they like, literally, that's how they would, you know, it was like this, some fucking.
He's got some ideas with the bong. He's done some.
Wait, Chris, so where did you grow up, though?
I grew up in Rosemead,
okay.
San Gabriel area.
Right, it's kind of close to where these guys are from, kind of.
Oh,
yeah.
On the way there.
So then after the heartbreak and then you got into the stuff a little bit, then you kind of started hanging out with a different set of friends type story.
Yeah, we got to switch up. We got to adapt and find out, where's the dope at?
Yeah,
and, where the girls at? Where's the fun at?
Yeah.
I was a Teamster dock worker, so I had the ways and means to get high,
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know anything about the Teamsters, but it's impossible to get fired.
Yeah.
And I got fired. and so, that kicked off a whole new adventure of the ways and means to get more.
Yeah.
Did a little prison term at like 30, late bloomer for the, what is it, AB-109 bullshit that you fuck up because they give you a couple chances to.
You got a county bullet and then you fuck that up and then they send you to the joint or something.
16 with half. I kept messing up the Prop 36. It was Prop 36. Prop 36.
Oh, yeah.
Those days. And so that was kind of like.
Yeah.
My introduction to that. But
yeah. Whole bunch of people in the town I grew up were like, you just get caught in that. Like, how do you get that shit? And then you go live back at your mom's place around everybody else that's doing the same shit. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to just be like, eat Captain Crunch and fucking watch fucking daytime TV or whatever,
That's the thing with Prop 36. You got three chances, right? Everybody knew you had three chances. So as addicts and alcoholics, like, what do we think? Well, I'm going to take two
and be
good after that.
Yeah,
but once
totally.
I open up that Pandora's box, like the obsession and the compulsion
you
and
don't
the
have
allergic
a choice
reaction,
when
it's
it,
over.
When it stops, yeah.
Larry said you were smoking out of some crazy bong.
Larry?
No, you.
So there I am, right? One day, right? no girls that night. I go by my friend Marcos's house and I'm if you're my people, like, I take care of you. I showed up with a big bag of dope.
Yeah.
And I go to his garage. And this is when I still have my Teamster lick, right? So I go to his garage. He's not home. I let myself in,
Of course.
Yeah, but we're cool, mm-hmm.
Right? When he gets there, you're going to have a big old pile on the table.
So he rolls up on his mountain bike, right? And he's like, what the fuck are you doing in the garage, bro? I said, fucking showed him the dope. I'm like, what do you think I'm doing, bro? He's like, fuck it, come on. So started packing some bowls and shit and having a good time. And it's probably like 3:00 in the morning. And he's like, you want to smoke out the bong? And I'm not a really bong guy, right? Like, I like the pipe, right? So I'm like, ah, fuck you, get the bong, right? So he goes in and gets the bong, and it's one of those Gatorade bottles with some fucking glue and some fucking duct tape and a fucking pipe, and I'm just like, what a dick, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, so pack a bowl, right? I'm packing a bowl, I'm fucking around, and he's got this big old fish tank right here, right? With a Jack Dempsey and an Oscar and some feeder fish in there. And I'm looking at the pipe, and we're bored, right? We're nothing really to do, pre-fucking everything, right? I look over at the goldfish, and I look at the bong. I said, you ever fish bong? He's like, oh, what's fish bong? I said, you never fish bong, bro? Like, everybody's fish bong, bro. You never fish bong? And he's like, no, how do you do it? I go, go give me the fucking net. And so he gave me the net, and I got a goldfish, and I stuck it in the bong. I would fucking...
No way.
He's like, you've done this before? I said, yeah, dude, I do it all the time. He's like, that's fucking crazy, right? So, and like, I would fill the bowl extra, like put more dope in it and kind of kick it back to get that fish loaded up, right? And he's like, that's fucking crazy. And looking at the fish, there's smoke in there, he's doing, he's on everything, he's popping. He's like, I'm like, fucking check him out, right? And he goes, you ever freeze him? I said, freeze him, you can freeze him? He's like, yeah, you can freeze him. I'm like, well, let's fucking freeze him. So he goes inside, gets some ice, gets a tumbler, puts one of the goldfish in the ice, right? They turn from pink to white, threw the motherfucker back in the tank, and they kind of do this number, right? And then, I don't know about you guys, but when you're partying with your boys, you gotta take care of them, right? You kind of like gotta take care of them, right? So the big fish goes for him, I fucking jump in the tank, I fucking wrestle the fish, I pull him out of his mouth.
Bullshit!
On everything, right? I pull him out of his mouth, I try to save him, but...
You're in the fish tank.
I'm in the fucking fish tank. And I'm trying to wrestle him out of this fish's mouth, but rest in peace, bro. You didn't get him, right? I tried everything I could to get him, right? So my boy goes and he goes, well, let's put some in some vodka, right? I'm like, well, go get the fucking vodka. So he goes and gets the vodka, comes back with a tumbler, and we throw one in the
goldfish?
Yeah, the goldfish is just going in the tumbler, right? We're just going in there. And we throw them both back in the tank, right? And on everything, right? All the fish that congregate behind the rock, and they're looking at the rock, and they're doing fish shit, right? And the one that's on meth is looking out the fucking window going...
No
I
way.
Said, I'm like, look at him, he's fucking tweaking, dude. He's fucking tweaking. Right? And here's the other one. The one that got drunk came out from behind the rock and started going across the tank. Mm. And the big Jack Dempsey's like, what the fuck? And he started making a move on him. I'm like, dick, he's drunk, he's looking at him. And he's moving and he kind of caught wind of it. He's like, oh, he got away. His brother comes in about 20 minutes later. He's like, what the fuck is going on here, bro? I'm like, we're fucking fishmonging, bro. Get to this.
You guys party with fish all night.
That one night. That's a one-time thing.
So you didn't do that all the time?
No, that was a one-time thing.
That's hilarious. That's gotta gas each other up all night on some fish bullshit.
And then we'd be in our walkie-talkies because, you know, you got walkie-talkies when you're on one out there in the field. He's like, fishmong, copy, fishmong.
Dude, that was a code word.
That's the kind of shit you do when there's no girls around.
Work on cars.
I didn't have any car to work on. I never had it. That was a problem.
Yeah. Me neither. True, me either.
At the end, I did.
You guys have heard his aunt story, right?
What?
Man. Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Go. So, So I like to, I'm you know, in the beginning, like when I parole, right? Let's just say it. I've been, you know, system a lot. And I would parole and it'd be good, you know, I'd have the big sack and, you know, somebody's car, some girl's car, it'd be all good. And then you'd meet me again, you know, 2 weeks later, and I'd be on a mountain bike with a backpack, you know, you shot out. You know, it's that quick with
right,
me.
When I'm, you like, come home,
I'm like that. It'd be a nice bike in a nice backpack. You know, I'd always make sure that, and I always had clean socks and, you know, because, the clean socks thing, the underwear, not so much, but because you're riding a bike, right? And I would ride, I could, you give me a little bit of, and I could ride from here to Santa Monica and back, you know? And, you got the train too, so we can go anywhere with the train. And I traveled. I loved just going downtown. I loved downtown. Yeah, like, you know, yeah, I had some places
down. Downtown's nasty.
Yeah, I like it. It's just crazy down, you know, it's like. Yeah, when you're riding a bike.
When you go downtown, would you smoke crack and shit and fuck around like that?
Like I said, I told earlier, I'm not a crack smoker, but I did smoke it for 92 days straight. You know? And it was right here. We were talking about it. Her name is Jennifer right here. And, you know, she'd take a hit and bend over and it was on. You know, it's like, so, but, you know, my story goes with this. I get to a point where I'm fucked up, right? And I've been up 6 days this time, and I'm sitting at a bus stop on Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, behind a 7-Eleven's behind me. I keep doing the head nod. I'm passing out. I'm going down, and I got like stolen stuff in my backpack that I'm gonna make a lot of money on, right? So I'm like worried about me passing out, because, anyways, and there's couple guys going around on the bicycles, you know, and I know them. I know everybody, and they see me. Hey, Larry, what's up, man? And they can see me doing the. They're just, you know, they're like waiting,
like vultures.
You know, they're just
yeah.
waiting, and so you know, I do the stand up. Man, fuck, get the fuck out of, you know. And I do one of these, you know, like a. So I find my friend comes over. I said, hey, look, I had no money, no dope. I had some dope far away, but I couldn't, you know, why I can't get high anymore. Because, you know,
yeah,
when you're 6 days up, I got to sleep.
Yeah.
I have to sleep, but I got no place to sleep, right? So I'm trying to figure it out. And I see a homeboy comes up. I said, dude, give me a big gulp and something sweet. I need, you know, sugar right now. Because, you know, I ain't ate in 6 days. You know, it's time
yeah,
for some,
yeah.
you need a candy bar or whatever. So he gets me a candy bar. One of the big old long Snickers, king size. And a big gulp, man. And I'm like, so when that sugar hits you, you're like, yeah, you know, it's like, whoa, you know? And so I know, you know, I'm ready to, so all of a sudden I just sat down for a minute. I got my bike there and I was doing something to my bike and I wake up, you know, how you just, I come to. I'm like, oh, fuck, you know? And I got my backpack and I go to, you know, you pull your backpack and I just pull it, they cut it off. And I flip out, man. Look, what the fuck? And I jump around and I go into 7-Eleven. You motherfuckers got, you know, like, just, you know, I'm on a meth psycho, crazy. Mm. I'm going to beat everybody up. And
all you have was the straps.
Yeah, the strap, they just cut them right off. All of a sudden, the straps just come off. And I'm like, just losing it, you know? So now I'm really fucked, right? And I got this big gulp and I got this candy bar half eaten and I just start eating it, right? And I take the bike that has two flat tires. You know, that's why I was kind of stuck there, because the bike's out of commission. And I just drag this bike and this, I drag this bike and my big gulp and my little candy bar. And I figured it all out. And I just dragged the bike and I walk like 4 miles to this place that I know I can go to sleep at, behind this bank where there's cameras at, because, you know, I'm that guy. They're all trying to kill me. But if I sleep around cameras, they won't kill me, you know, because that's where I'm at. Because it's like head's just fucking, I'm gone. I'm tweaked out of the game. And so I sit down and, you know, the bike's next to me. And again, boom, I pass out. And I wake up and it's just, you know, there's a guy smoking a cigarette. I'm in this like rest area behind this bank where, you know, a bunch of people are working and stuff. So I know it's almost morning because it's getting a little light, you know, and I just kind of look around. And I'm trying to figure it out. And, you know, my glasses are, you know, off and they're sitting over there, and I look around, and, you know, and I got stuff in my mouth, and I'm like trying to figure it out. The candy bar's laying there, and, you know, the big gulp has fell over, and I'm in half in bushes, half out, and I stand up, and I got, you know, and I'm dirty. I got black shit all over me. I like, and again, I got, you know, like, feel like hair in my mouth. I'm like, you know, what the fuck? And I go get my glasses, and I put my glasses on, and when I get my glasses on, and I look down, and I got a kabillion ants on me.
Oh,
I mean, like a kabillion, because I've been eating that candy bar all that way, and it's just all over me. It was in my mouth, and I had passed out in these bushes, and these black ants. I'm telling you,
damn.
I can't stand one ant, and I had a kabillion of them on me. So I'm like flipping out. I'm doing a, you know, the dance. I'm taking everything off, and that guy's over there just looking at me smoking a cigarette, you know, and I get done with all, you know, the wiping it off, and I see that guy over there, man, and I walk over. I go, you think that shit's funny, dude? And he's like, no, bro, are you all right? You know, he goes, dude, I had never seen that. What was on you? What's going on? I said, oh, you know, I just looked at him and I'm like, nah, man, you know, I don't know what's going on. So, I mean, and there was a meeting next door. There was a meeting next door, and I ended up going to that meeting and, you know.
Oh, wait, when it was at the hotel?
No, it was at, I was right there at Madison. It was the early bird. I was on Madison in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in that bank next door behind there where all the cameras and stuff where people smoke cigarettes and shit at.
Oh, right.
Yeah, good times. Yeah, good times.
So you were at your mom's pad just to kind of go through, like, the, you know, the years or whatever. Right. You're at your mom's pad after that hike all over the SGV or whatever.
The urban hike, yeah.
You got that sack in your pocket. You went through that. And that kind of opened the gate for you as far as just being on a long ass meth run. And what was on the other side of those couple of years? Like, what did that look like?
Well, So yeah, I got really invited into that, into the game of the speed.
Yeah.
Went back to Ontario, of course, because that's where they were making it at. These people that I knew, I started getting involved in, and yeah. You know, it's just like people you know, and they. I'm gonna say it. I used to scrap metal, right, a lot, and early days were it was called Kaiser Steel. Kaiser Steel was over in Ontario. It's where Fontana Speedway was
at. Yeah, no, dude, my grandfather retired from Kaiser Steel at that location. So my mom went to Fohai.
They sold out. They didn't sell everything out at that time. This is the 80s. So they were just selling out, and they were making the that Fontana Speedway.
Yeah.
So I'm in there rushing all the metal I can because they're closing down.
Yeah.
And these big old warehouses full of just whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I find this, where they put the steel through. It's an X-ray machine, and it's a solvent that I found. These two 35-gallon drums, and in these two 35-gallon drums, one of them was half full, and the other, and it said solvent on it. I know some guys in the garage. You know, I'm a tweaker, and all these people I know, and so I just put it on this truck that I got this rental truck. I paid off the security guard with dope. I know this whole fucking thing. I got this whole thing going on. I'm making like, you know, $5,000 a week on just scrap, right? And it's just, and these are like a bunch of, you know, it's happening. But then I found I found the mother. And what it was is, I didn't know until I got it back. This guy that helped me pull it off, he goes, hey, what is this stuff? I said, we'll give it to, I think his name was Danny. This guy at that thing, we'll give it to Danny at the shop. And he looked at it and started doing this dance. And I'm like, well, what? He goes, it's steel, too. It's fucking, it's the shit, dude. It's what they need. And
I go, take
it over there. So he takes it over to this place. You know, we're in Ontario. I'm going to name too many names. Yeah. But they like to ride motorcycles, and they know how to make the good shit, right?
Yeah.
So you give it to them. And I bury the other 35 because I know I got something. I'm in the backyard burying when he comes back, you know. He goes, dude, we're in. It's the shit. We're in. So it's like, you know, $5,000 and a couple pounds on just that. And so I was the guy, you know, I was that guy. And because I had them guys, and then I would go back to the SGV with it all. And I was just running around with this shit, and it just getting, but it got deep, you know, it like popping. It always does. It just got deep. And
was fun,
you know,
in the beginning, though.
Yeah. I weighed about $120 then. You know what I mean? I was like, I was on one because I wasn't really, I was just chewing that shit too. And I was, you know, it was just, it used to come in slabs. It was wet. You didn't smoke it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, smoked it till like 89, 90.
So some shit happened. I stayed away from Ontario, you know, caught a robbery there, and it was a DA reject, and I got out of a big mess. I was on my way, and I got away from, you know, somebody. Well, I didn't rob him. He tried to shoot me. I got the gun from him, and I beat the shit out of him with the gun. And they tried to give me a robbery. He said he robbed him. They found the bullets were his. You know, it was like this big case, and DA reject, and I'm gone, right? I'm like, okay, Ontario's good. Some other shit happened. A lot of shit happened.
Yeah.
Let me say this. A lot of shit happened.
When you got that kind of
so I just had to get out of that town, and I went back to the SUV where I'm familiar with, and mom's couch for a while, trying to straighten up. And then it was like, you know, that shit ran out, right? So I had a good, you know, I was used to a lot of good dope, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting it, so I became very scandalous, you know? I became very, very scandalous, and no one could trust me.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm on my mom's couch because ain't no one's going to give me any breaks and shit.
Yeah.
And then I end up in prison, you know? And in 88, I'm gone. And I come back in 92, and that's when he said, everybody starts smoking that shit.
Yeah.
I came into this room, this girl that I knew, and she said, come on over here. And I came out, you know, I had a little size on me. I didn't weigh 120 pounds. I weighed 200. And I was strong, and I was, you know, I was mean, and I didn't know anything else, right?
Yeah.
And I remember going in this house, and all these tweakers were around, and she was selling. And I'm like, you know, what are they doing? What are they doing around the pipe? You know, they got the torch going on, and this guy's, you know, he's making pipes. But at that particular time, I'm like, what in the fuck?
Yeah.
And
I remember that, too.
Yeah, I remember everybody circled around, and everybody, you know.
One time, I was at this pad in Azusa. And I'd snort it, but everybody else is smoking it. And you know, you heat it and it turns into that liquid.
Yeah.
And they're passing, and I'm in the kitchen, but they're all in a circle, passing it like this, you know? And everybody's like talking and shit, passing the pipe. And I see this dude, he heats the pipe up, and I see him hold it low. He just dumps a little bit of that liquid out into his jeans.
Oh.
On purpose.
I remember that shit.
So we can scrape it out later.
Yeah, yeah, I got a girl that does that. She's good. Yeah. Bring the pipe up. What happened? Like, hey, the pipe's empty, man.
So crazy. I used to hang out. It's funny, you were talking about everybody cooking back then, and you know, and
the 80s, it was about cooking it, man. It was
hard to get.
And in Covina, too, man, I'm telling you, there's some boys. I ain't gonna name names, of course, but yeah, there was some boys there. Oh, they were.
And the shit was fire, too.
It was good. It was. It's not like today, that shit today, or I mean, you know, 8 years ago, I got 8 years clean, thank God. You know, thank God. And, but before that, man, that dope was just. Garbage, man. Yeah. Garbage.
But I remember, like, my buddy would always be like, you know, we'll go hang out over here. My homegirl, like, you know, hey, make a pipe, whatever. And then her and all her crew would be, like, doing that sloshing shit out of the bowl on their shoe or on their fingernail or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck? And it was, like, a normal thing. Yeah. Like, and you catch him in the act type thing. And I'm like, come on, let's go hang out with my friends. Like, they were way less advanced than that. You know what I mean? They were a little bit, like, newer to the game, just happy to see you coming. And later on, they all got like that, too. But that was the craziest scandalous thing, man. Drug, pouring the bowl out. So
yeah, the
weird.
Pouring the bowl, I remember that.
So you got out, and then she's like, hey, this is my homeboy. You're like, I'm around now.
She had to, like, you know, she'd write me all that, you know, all that stuff, you know. And I just... After a couple of years, you're like, you know, I got another couple to do. The streets get on you. But I remember getting out and going over to her house, and I went into that circle, and I look at the wall, and there's a shrine. It's me. You know, like we take those photos, right? You know, those ones you get all flexed up and shit, you know, off the way. Wait, let me get on the weight pile. And you come back, and you take... Back in the day, you take photos. Yeah. They had photo decades. You could actually buy that. And I remember looking on the wall, and she had this fucking shrine, and I was there, and I'm like... And I looked at everybody else in the house. I'm like, well, this is my house now.
Yeah.
Hey, this is, I'm about to come up right now. So I walked over to the point, like, what are you guys doing, man? I'm like, you know, and I asked her, I go, so is anybody buying dope here, you know? She goes, nah, I just give. I go, give? Fuck that. I said, so who's got money in their pocket but smoking my dope? You guys are smoking my dope. And somebody stood up, boom, you know, knocked him out. I said, no, what was I saying? You know, it was one of those things, like. And it was just, you know, it was...
That was in Covina?
No, that was in Rialto.
Oh, shit.
And I wasn't supposed to be there, right? They're like, so I didn't know who's, you know, it was one of them stories that it was somebody else's dope she was selling it for. And she'd left that night. I'll tell you exactly when it was. It was in 92, and it was the earthquake. And I was like, she wasn't there, man. This fucking earthquake happened. I'm spun out for the first time. I just got out from doing four, I think I did five in a month. So I did the nickel, and I'm like, you know, I'm high. I'm like really alert high type thing. And people are knocking at the door for dope. I'm not opening it. So she doesn't show up. So I'm like, but I'm pissed. This is the first night. So I just open up a drawer. There's a fucking 380. I put that in my pocket. Open up another drawer. There's just vials of dope. You know, she's got it all. And I just hit the pillowcase, and I just go around the house. I just take off. Never seen her since. Never seen her since. Yeah. Wow. Left that night. She called my mom looking for me. I said, you know.
Dude, when I was getting loaded, I was so scared to go to fucking Fontana or Ontario.
Yeah, it was a scary
Fontana
place.
He
was a fucking lawless.
Yeah.
It was,
it's a whole different trip.
It's like, man, this ain't my neighbor. These motherfuckers will kill you.
I'm from out there, and I caught myself in a couple situations like, I only came out here to get loaded. I didn't come out here for all this. You know, out in the desert and fucking or piece of property where it's a long-ass driveway with a big-ass fluorescent light on top of the house, and you like get all the way down there, and there's a fucking dogs and convicts, and you're like, oh, fuck, man.
Yeah, the whole 90s, man. When I got out, I mean, I was ruined, you know. It was about that, you know. I just, what did you have? Everybody was like, I'd walk into a house, everybody's hiding their shit, because I'm, you know, that... It just became, you know, and I was right back. I was just, I would go right back, you know. Yeah. I came here on this last 8 years ago, I came here on a non-funded Prop 36. That's what got me into Impact.
Really?
Yeah. And so, I stuck out for 90 days and ended up getting a job.
Chris, tell us how you ended up getting sober.
I remember I was at the dope spot, and it was like, I had a girlfriend of mine who would pick me up and take me back to Impact to the Tuesday meeting, right? To the...
Yeah.
The NA meeting on Tuesday. And I had been an RA, I had been an intern at Impact, so I had a lot of friends, I had a lot of love, and I had a lot of good people in my life. And she would scrape me out of this dope house, right? And I was like the security guard at the dope house, right? So I had like carte blanche with the owner, had to keep the peace with the neighborhood there, and you know, and I would muster up enough you know, willingness to go with her. She'd buy me some Jack in the Box, maybe buy me some socks and take me to Impact. When I'm at Impact, I see all my people, man, people that genuinely love me. And they're like, when are you coming back, peeps? When you gonna, you know, come back to the house? And I'm like, I don't know, man, but you know, but it's good to see you guys. And then within that hour, we would literally have to board up the windows at the dope spot because they were gone for that little time, right? Fucking boards are off, windows are broken, cops are there, someone stole my bike, and I got a fight with somebody. And then next Tuesday, the same thing. And then next Tuesday, the same thing. And so finally, I was just like, is this gonna be it, Chris? Like, is this gonna be your story, bro? Like, is this how it ends? And I just had that moment of clarity, man. I had a pipe in my pocket. I did that rendezvous. Like, I'm going back to rehab. And all of a sudden, everybody wants to smoke you out one last time. The farewell bowls, mm-hmm. right? And I called, you know, everybody, yeah, I got a little bit, you know. So I called Andres, which was my sponsor. And he picked me up. Gave me the address. He's like, I don't know if you're ready to go back. I said, well, at this time, I could take it or leave it. And so he picked me up, and I showed up to Impact with some random tools, one walkie-talkie, and like, and my willingness, right? Because nobody can use my walkie-talkies when I'm on my trip, right? If I can't find the other one, fuck you guys. Like, yeah. I'm taking the other one. Ain't nobody playing with my walkie-talkies. And when I got there, I just remember having that moment because I'd been to Impact a few times. And when I got there, I had that moment of like, I know where I shortchanged my recovery. I know where I like did like 88% of what you guys asked me to do. And when I came in there, I told myself that if they let me back in, I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And when I went there, I just had that moment of surrender. I called Jerry and Jerry had seen me at the Ontario convention and I looked like a fucking stick lizard. And I was trying to hide from him. When he seen me, he's like, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I mean, you're disintegrating, right? In that Jerry Johnson tone. And so he had seen me like, what's that, like November, the convention is. So it was December 18th when I came into the house. And I remember calling Jerry as I was coming up to the patio. I said, Jerry, I'm coming back into treatment, right? No appointment, no nothing. I'm just showing up ready to do this. And he goes, you need to. Call me when you get there. And when I got there, I just had that moment, man. Like, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And I did it to the best of my ability. And if you want me to be a dad, I'll be a dad. You want me to go sit with a new guy at USC Hospital all night? Let's fucking go. You want me to fucking mop floors, clean toilets, whatever you want me to do, I did it. And it just changed. I remember the one thing that kind of swayed my whole recovery was I remember going to my caseworker's office. It was Mario Gudinas was my caseworker. And, you know, I'm kind of well-known there from all the times I've been there or whatever, right? And I remember going to his office, and he was kind of an ass with me. And he's like, what are you doing in my office, bro? Because you're not going to do the same thing you've always done. Go around and,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And he goes, don't come to my office until I call for you. And I was like, what a dick, right? Like, yeah. Everybody else was super cool with me that day, right?
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in his office, and I just had that moment. I just cried. And I couldn't even put my finger on why, man. I just broke down and I cried like I never cried before. And he's looking at me, and he's kind of a hard ass, and he's like, what's the matter? And I was like, and I just had that moment of honesty, man. I was like, at 41 years old, I don't know how to live my life.
Yeah.
And he was like, and he just looked at me, and I told him, you tell me one thing to do, and I'll do it. If you tell me two things, I'll fuck them both up. But you tell me one thing to do, Mario, and I'll do it. And he said, for today, Chris, don't make nobody laugh. Because that's always been my go-to, right? I'm the funniest guy on the tier. I get the whole fucking day room going. I do all these imitations and have these fucking retarded stories.
Attention
and shit.
Seeker. Right? Yeah. Same way.
Definitely. And so I'm missing the fucking message, yeah. Right? I'm fucking jerking off, being an ass, being disruptive in group. And it's okay to have fun while you're in treatment with your boys here and there. But I got to take it serious. I got to take this serious because my life's on the line. And from that moment, I told him I'd do it. And so for the whole day, I wasn't the clown in the pit. I wasn't the funniest guy in the room. And it was just quiet. And everybody's like, what's the matter? You're like, what's the matter? And I just, I'm like, nothing, man. I cried a couple more tears because I looked at the severity of my situation. And all of a sudden, nothing seemed funny in treatment no more. It wasn't fucking funny no more, right? Like, we're fucking grab-assing and messing around and talking stupid shit. But, like, I keep missing the message. And nothing was funny no more.
Yeah.
And it kind of sprung board my recovery to, like, I got to take this serious, man. It's all right to have a good time. We have a great time when we hang out. But I have to take this serious. And it kind of springboarded my recovery. And that's how I kind of, like, it shifted the pendulum into my favor. And
that's brilliant.
That was really it.
It is. I had a couple of people come at me the same way, because most people were like, Reno, what fuck, you know, like, love to yuck it up and laugh and have a good time. But then I would have some counselors or people with time, like, fuck with me and be like, what's so funny? What are you around here having a fucking good old time, bro? You just came in with, like, no cell phone, no money for cigarettes. You fucking mom's crying her fucking eyes out. You, another fucking broken relationship. You got fired from your job. You know what I mean? Just running down a list of everything you got going on in life, but you're like on the fucking yard at the treatment center smoking cigarettes, telling lies. Fucking, you know what I mean? Like,
all that stuff.
Like, everything's right? All good, you know? And it's like, it's true, man. Like, you know, it's not fucking, you know, the Grand Hyatt in fucking Kauai. It's treatment. You know what I mean? You're supposed to put in work there.
And then That's what happened. That's what kind of changed my whole get down.
How long ago was that?
I have 11 years. Nice. December 18th is my sobriety date. So I have 12, because I'm getting 12.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trade it for nothing, man.
What about you, Larry? What changed for you? Because Larry's ass was in and out for years.
I got comfortable in prison. And it just...
I know, I hate that.
And I paroled out of a CRC and, you know, some little violation. I think it was a year and a day. And I was tired. You know, I just knew what was happening. And so I had this parole officer. His name is Sergeant Gunn. Big black dude, man. Just mean as fuck. And I came in and I was done. I got high. And I was like, you know, he wanted to test that. You know, I wanted to try to get that 100. And he's like, can you test? I was like, yeah, I can test. I'm just going to test to get the 100, you know. And he goes, you know, we got the new test going. Because this is like, you know, this is 2003, right? He goes, I go, what new test? He goes, we'll know if you're high today. He goes, you look a little high, Larry. I'm like, man, I'm not high. And sure enough, you know, I said, well, you know what? Fuck you. I'll test tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. And he goes, just stay right here. Sit down. I said, you know what you can do, man? Just take me back to the county jail. I'm done. I said, I mean, you know, I didn't want to go back out there. That's where I was at. Because I was like, you know, get it. But I think it was 30-day dry outs then. I did whatever. But so, you know, I sat there all day. He gave me a lunch. He said, hang on. He goes, I'm going to take you to the county but later on in the day. I said, all right. So he handcuffs me, puts me in back of this fucking weird-ass car, you know, and takes me down. It was going down some weird street, and he drops me off at Salvation Army. I don't know what Salvation Army. It's right there off Del Mar, right?
The one in Pasadena?
Yeah, the one in Pasadena. Yeah. And some guy comes out of the side of the room. He's real feminine, and, you know, I'm like, what? You know, hey, Larry, you know, we're going to take care of you. I'm like, you know what? And I look back, and he's gone, you know. He took the gun. And I was like, what the? You know, I was pissed. And then some other dude named Larry, his name, you know, I did time with him. He goes, I knew that was you. I knew your name. And so he had already called up and they were trying to get me in. But I was dirty and they wouldn't let you in when you're dirty. So he said, look, you're too dirty. You gave him a test and they checked the levels. And he goes, you got to, you know, and it's Relapse Park across the street. Del Mar Park. I know all about it, right? Park. I know everybody there. Yeah. So he said, look, just don't get loaded tonight. Come in the morning and we got you. And Larry said, just don't use it. They're going to check your levels. And I didn't use that night, you know, for whatever reason. And I could have. Everybody's up, you know, because I knew everybody. And actually, I almost did. And it was going to see what it was like for that day. Anyways, I stayed there 5 months. And it was the beginning of the... I met a guy named Brendan. And I'll say his name. And fucking A. And and that was what he was all about. And and I believe, you know, that, you know, there's no coincidences that I learned from him. But I didn't know nothing about surrender, you know, all that shit. You know, I showed up, I was the guy that wore the Pendleton. I was like, you know, if I was Mexican or white, you know, I always had that, you know, that the Dickies the brocha on. And, yeah, you know, the big, you know, I didn't know. And I was tough and I didn't know how to talk. I didn't, you know, I was all these walls up for all these years. And I showed up at the meeting and, you know, he said, you know, they kicked me out for smoking in the wrong place or something. But I was stealing from him all the whole time I was there. I'll tell you that. I got a 5.0 Mustang when I was done from stealing all the damn gold and shit. You know, I worked at Brick-a-Brack. And, you know, I told Brendan what I was doing. He goes, well, when you get to this step, we're going to work that one out. And I ended up, you know, giving these guys pastries every morning. I had to go pick up pastries and put, you know, to get, you know, for like 6 months for to pay amends. It back. Yeah, it was a cheap thing for me. I know I got more money than pay back. But anyways, that was the start. You know, I met a girl. I didn't know how to be with a girl. I knew girls, but I didn't know how to be with a girl, right? So she became my higher power, took me off the program. He seen it coming. I went to Vegas on her birthday. I know Vegas, and I came back drunk, you know. And it was just it was just the beginning of, I was a hard nut to crack, you know. And I'd get some time and get loaded, get some time and get loaded. I just couldn't surrender the fact of this, like he said my story in a sense, you know. It took, you know, and I'll fast forward to at 55. I'm 55 on a mountain bike, you know, geeked out, been out for 2.5 years now. Because I didn't go back to prison. I never went back. I discharged my D number in 2005. My prison number, and then I just started getting these little cases because the laws changed, man. I used to go to jail for a residue bag and do 16, 2, or 3 because I got a strike and all. You know, I used to do all the time for bullshit. Damn. And then so now I'm getting busted. They're letting me out and taking me these programs, and you know, and I'll say his name, Judge Smirling. That was my stepdad. That's what I call him. And you know, he helped me out, and he kept giving me a chance and a chance. And I went to Impact 6 times, you know. So my 6th time at Impact, I'm in room 37. It was the Prop 36, and it's called Unfunded Prop 36. They didn't know what to do with me, you know. It's again, I'm here again, and I was like, no way is Impact gonna ever take me back. And sure enough, you know, they were gonna give me 32. I know 16, you know, double up 32 with 80, which was 2 years. I know it's about 2 years. And I was like, look, yeah, I got it. Because I had 5 cases, 1 felony. And all it was just a bunch of dope, you know. Just it was a bunch of dope.
Just being an addict.
Same shit. And long story short, I'm 55. I show up there. It's I go to court at 92 days. They said, you're free to go. And I didn't have to be in a, you know, I didn't have to do nothing, no probation, because that's the way the prop worked. And he goes, Ingram, you know, and I remember Smirling telling me, Ingram, the ball's in your court. And I just, and I don't know what happened, but I got in that white van in the back, and we drove by the little liquor store that I'm familiar with, and I wanted a beer. And I was going to go get one, because I was just going to leave. But, you know, I'm still there. And for whatever reason, I beeline through Impact. I go by the, you know, the seniors desk, give me a couple bags. I said, I'm leaving, you know, I'm free to go. And so I go in the back and I'm in room 37. I'm all the way in the back and I'm loading up stuff. And I was sitting on my bunk and I looked at this backpack because that's what I'm into, backpacks. I'm about to go. I liked it. This dude had a badass backpack. And I always kept looking at it like, I'm going to take this motherfucker. And I look over there and there's pro clubs on the bed. This guy had just folded all of his laundry. I'm like, I'm going to take those. You know, I'm like, and I was ready to do all this. And something came over me because the night before I sat there and talked to him about the program, these guys, because I'm that guy that's been around so many meetings, so many programs, but I'm not. And I just remember what a piece of shit. I just felt like that. Like, what a fucking piece of shit.
You spent all that game when you got that
and
pressure
for whatever
on.
Reason, you know, the watering eyes came, you know. I'm like, you fucking. And I, you know, and then someone opened the door. You leave it. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm crying. You know, I'm like, well, hang on, man. He goes, dude, you all right? I'm like, yeah, that shit, my eyes. Who said I'm leaving? I ain't going nowhere, you know? And that was it. I just didn't go anywhere. But that was something that I never felt before. Yeah. And, you know, as I seen a couple weeks going down the line, I get a sponsor. His name's Kenny. And he takes me on this quest. He takes me to these square-ass meetings. And I was like, well, we're going to stop for tacos, you know? Dude, can I get a taco? He goes, no, we're going to a meeting, you know? And it was like, you know, we'll get some tacos later. Like, he always said that. Never bought me a taco. We always went to the square-ass meeting.
You always had that mentality of like, yeah, I'm going to get a sponsor, so I'm going to get a Starbucks and a taco.
Yeah, he was a contractor. He had the truck. He had everything that I wanted, right?
Yeah, but
the thing was is, you know, he knew what to do with me, you know?
Yeah.
And he wasn't a prison guy, you know? He didn't know what to do, but he had friends. One of them was Mitch, who's my sponsor today. God bless Kenny. He passed away, you know? And it was a big thing, you know? All these things happened.
Me and Kenny and Mitch got sober together.
Yeah, he knows him real well. And, you know, I bless that man every time I think about him. The people, you know, it took an army to get me clean, you know? Yeah. And, and that army is, you know, I'm dead, you know. Keith helps me out, man. I mean, everybody.
Larry still goes to the square ass meetings.
Man. I go to that square ass meeting every Thursday. I don't miss it for nothing. I'm a part of that.
We gotta take you guys there. Daniel, love it.
Yeah, yeah. I love that meeting. Yeah. And it's still a square ass meeting. It's in San Marino, for God's sake, man.
Like, me and Larry went, and Mitch, and we're the only, we're the only three that ever been arrested in here.
Yeah. And it was
I want to check it out. I love San Marino.
Oh, it's
the men's? Not that men's one, no?
No.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Great Adventures. It's at the Fireside. It's Del Mar and Huntington, yeah. But yeah, that's it. And that's it in a nutshell. I got eight years come, that was May 1st, you know. I ain't supposed to get eight.
That's
I ain't supposed to be living
man.
Today,
that's
you know. I know for a fact, without God's help and all these other people that helped me, you know, and there ain't no coincidences in this world. And Brendan, and I have to say Brendan Schiff, I'll call his last name. I love that man, you know. And he was the one that told me, I'm biting your fucking shirt, dog. You know, relax, homie. Go shake his hand, you know. Give him a hug. You know, I was like, I wasn't having it. And it was just a certain little things that happened, you know, along the way. Yeah. It took a long time for me to get
it's
8 years.
It's never too late. Dude, I have a, like they say, it's never too late, man.
I'm on one. I mean, this is a broken record story, but, you know, some of the dudes from Belinda beat me up and made me go to rehab. And, but I'd done what you did. I called my parole officer. I was like, he goes, I know you're loaded. He goes, you want to run or you want me to catch you? Or, no, he goes, you want me to catch you or you want to turn yourself in? And I was just, I can't explain it to you because, you know, I love running, but I was just at the end of my rope and I go, ah, fuck it, man. Let's just go. You know what I mean? He goes, all right, I'll take you to Chino Friday. Like, all right. And, but I was kind of like, at least I'm going right to Chino. Like, I didn't have to go to the, and then, I had to call him back. I said, hey, can I go to Impact instead? And he goes, how are you going to get in there? Because it was hard to get in then. You know, there wasn't all these fucking rehabs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I go, Tony Bramucci's getting me in there. And he goes, I dry snitched on him. I didn't realize what I was doing. He goes, the fuck are you doing hanging out with them murderers?
Oh, damn.
And I'm like, because we're all on, like, Gordon, his brother, had the same parole officer as me. We're all out of the same office.
Oh, shit.
And he goes, you're not supposed to be... I'm like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? I'm like... And they didn't do dope. They were just... You know, Tony wanted me to get sober. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, he's just trying to help me out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not hanging out with him. And they take me up there. And I remember I was talking to Jim Stillwell in the office. He goes, you know, how do you know so-and-so? How do you know Rod Esputo, whatever? You know, and I'm like, I start crying. He goes, I'll take you. I start crying. He goes... the fuck you crying for? I go, man, I don't fucking know. And I didn't know.
Yeah. You know, like, something happened.
I'm like, I really don't know. I had never been to treatment before. The only thing I knew about Impact was I was in the county. You remember Buzzard?
Yes.
Norman?
Yes, yes. So, and that's how I got to Impact, and I'll tell you that.
Dude, we're in the county. Yeah. Me and Norman ran around the streets together, and Norman was fighting a fucking 25, you know, three strikes.
Yeah.
And he'd be on the bottom tier going to court. I'd be like, fuck, I was really worried. You know what I mean? I'm like, fuck, good luck, Norman. I swear he goes, don't trip. I'm going to Impact. And I'm like, what? Because Gator got to get him in. And he...
that's who got me in the first time, Wally Gator.
Yeah. He got... I don't know how Norman is now, but...
I haven't seen him since the day... I don't know him that well. Just met him one night.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, I was talking about somebody else at this tweaker pad. And I'm going to prison if I don't go to court tomorrow. I said, I need a place where I can fucking go or I'm going to prison. And it was 2003. I'm going to go back. No, 2008. I'm sorry. This is when 2008. And I've been, discharged a number. And he goes, man, I could get you into Impact. I go, well, I'll give you $100 bill. You get me in there. He goes, yeah. He think I snacked it. And the next morning, you were showing up, and, you know, I'm on one. And I did a little black, you know, to calm my... So I'm like, they're trying to say that I'm a heroin addict, and I'm not a heroin addict. I'm trying to tell them, but I'm, you know, nodding every time they stop talking. I'm fucking nodding. That's when I met Stillwell.
Oh,
well, I walked up there. He, you know, he dumped me there to Wally Gator.
Norman?
He dumps me. And Wally Gator, like, he walked me right into Impact, right by everything. You know, we didn't have a guard check then. He just walks me in there. And he goes, how'd you get in there? I go, you know, I thought you knew it, you know. He goes, he dumped you, right? Norman? I go, yeah. He takes me down to, that's when he takes me down to Stillwell. And I sat in the seat, you know, nodding out. And he said, you like that heroin? I'm like, no, I'm a speed freak. You know, I'm fucking nodding out. He goes, no, you're not, you know. Yeah, that was the first time I ever went into Impact. 2008.
Heroin will throw a little sense into your game. You know, at the run, you're like, okay, maybe it's time to go.
I got the treatment in 2015. Reno actually did my, he did my intake. I went to this place called Community Recovery.
Oh, okay.
It don't exist anymore. And their whole thing was they would like get you in, like, they would get you, or when I got there, they basically were like, we'll get you in insurance. Don't worry about it. We'll scholarship you. And I didn't have no fucking insurance. I didn't know nothing, you know? Like, I was just like, I was done. I was like sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'd said that shit a million fucking times before, you know? And my homie was like, hey, I can get you into a place, you know? And he's like, and we'll scholarship you or whatever. And I get there and they're like, we need $500 from your mom to cover your detox meds. And I was like, fuck, I keep telling my mom she needs to pay for me to get into treatment, you know? And then I never make it into treatment because usually she'd give it to me. And I remember telling her that, and she goes, I'll give it to them, but not you this time. And I was like, fuck, all right, you're good, you know?
Finally,
I probably called her and got a credit card number.
Yeah. And I got there, and my homie dropped me off, you know? He drove me, and he was a dude, you know, he passed away a few years ago. We actually had him on the podcast before before he passed away. And
he was a really dynamic dude. That was a real good friend of ours that...
didn't make it. Like, one of those angels that helped me along the way, and I wouldn't be fucking sitting here if it wasn't for him, you know?
Part of the army,
but he didn't make it. Like, he's one of the guys, and he dropped me off, and I remember me telling him, like, kind of like you, where I was like, I hit everybody up, and I was like, hey, I'm going away to treatment, you know? And they'd be like, all right, and I'd be like, hey, let me just get a sack, you know? And they'd be like, all right, cool, yeah, come by, you know? And for some reason, everybody, I was like...
Farewell
sack, you know? I had all these syringes from the needle exchange, so I'd go and I'd give you, like... 100, you know, here, take this, and oh, I got whatever, you know, all the stolen shit I had to, like, where I would take some shit from Keith, you know, and I couldn't bring it around because I'd still kick it with Keith, you know, so I couldn't cluck it to anybody, so word would get back. All that shit I had, I'm giving it away. I go, here, take Keith's phone, whatever.
All the secrets are coming out.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. But it was like, that last night before I went in, you know, I remember I went to the needle exchange and I was on my way to the Connect and I didn't have any water, you know, but I had to get a fucking high. And I pulled over, and I knew where there was, like, a spigot, you know, where I could always get a little bit of water, you know, and right up
where
in Hollywood. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm, like, the back streets in Hollywood. And I remember pulling over.
The new exchange on Coenga right there.
And I remember getting some water, you know, and going to get some water from there and thinking to myself as I was right there, like, this is the last time I'm ever going to do this. And I knew in that moment, you know.
Really?
I knew in that moment. I was like, this is the last time. Or not even this is the last time. I go, what if this is the last time I ever have to do this, you know? Because I didn't know, but I get into treatment and Chris drops me off and I was like, so I had all this dope and it's weird because, you know, I heard about people talking about like, oh, it stopped working, you know, like, and that night before I went to all these different people and I'd get dope from here and I'd fucking do a shot and nothing, you know, and I'd go over here and it was like just getting me well, but I couldn't even get fucking one in, you know, and I had some good meth, so I'm like banging the meth and that gets me going, but I wanted to get some good dope and I went to everybody and finally it was like, Chris came to take me to treatment. I was supposed to be there by 2. It's like 4:00. He's like, dude, we got to get you in. And I get there and I was like, all right, I got to get one more shot in before, you know, and like in the driveway of the treatment center. He's like, all right, just fucking do it. And I had a little GHB that I found when I was packing my bag. And I was like, I'm going to take the GHB. Just got, you know, because I got to take it. Like,
yeah,
you know,
he was a this is it. Yeah.
So I took, you know, and I remember filling up. I would always fill up. They'd be like, do a cap full, you know, and I'd be like, okay, just a cap. And you
too want much with, for me.
Yeah. They tell you to do a cap lot, like this, man. But I remember, and this is the dumb shit, you know, where I'd
dude,
be like,
these bottles
I'm do a
are exactly what I was always you know? In, these shitty bottles.
Really?
Yeah, this little cap in the same way. Yeah. I was like, this little.
I would do a Gatorade cap full, you know? Yeah. It's still a cap full, you know? Yeah, but I remember taking it and I got into treatment. Yeah, and I got there, and I remember filling out, like, they're like, all right, you got to sign this fucking, remember the hot Asian nurse? What was her name? You remember?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. She's like, you got to sign this, and then we can get you to detox. And I was like, all right, bet, you know? And I would go and start signing it. And the next thing I know, she'd be like, Daniel, you know? And I'm like, huh? And she's like pulling me up and there's drool everywhere. She's like, I got to print this out again, you know? And finally, she printed it out again and again. Daniel, she goes, just fucking sign right here. And I signed one thing and like they got me to detox and they gave me my intake meds. And I remember I like went down for a second. I came up and I was like, I got to get my meds. Like I'm fucked up. And I was like, hey, I need my, you know, I was like, hey, like I needed my night meds, you know? And they were like, You've been here for 72 hours. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, what? No, I haven't. They're like, you've been here for 72 hours.
They had it worked out. The meds over there.
The meds were just right.
The doctor that they had was this dude out of Santa Monica that was like, he knew what to do. Baller dude that had it all figured out. And when I did my detox there, I went to go see him, and I thought it was my first run to go see him. He pulled me out of bed, and I threw some gear on, and drive me up to his office in like Westlake Village or kind of by Gold Canyon.
Yeah.
And he's in his office. He had two dogs that were always with him and shit. And I went in there and I was like, oh, so what are you going to give me to? He's like, I'm like, what are you going to give me to kick? And he's like, motherfucker, this is your second visit, man. Like, I didn't even remember being there the first time to see him. He had given me so much like phenobarbital and everything else that he goes, I did my job, you know? Yeah, place was dope. They took a lot of the playbook of Cry Help and other cool places like that, but it was like an insurance scam kind of thing, but like no one really knew it. The earlier class kind of just got the best of it, and then in the end it turned out he was scamming everybody. But I got sober there, he got sober,
you got plenty of homies that got sober,
but I've been through Cry Help three times, Tarzana twice. I was on prop at Tarzana, living in sober living in North Hollywood, taking the train down there. Fucking, you know what I mean?
North Hollywood to Santa Ana?
No, to Tarzana.
Oh.
Yeah, that was kind of like the shuffle.
Did you know why Tarzana is called Tarzana?
Is in the city of Tarzana?
No, why the city of Tarzana is called the city.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do, but you tell me.
Why?
The guy who wrote Tarzan bought that property and named it Tarzana.
It's not.
Oh, is that it?
It's not F. Scott Fitzgerald, but his name is like that.
Yeah.
It's like a letter and two names, but yeah. He had a big ass house up there and he kind of like
Tarzan,
developed.
Tarzan,
Tarzan.
Yeah, the dude who wrote Tarzan, whatever the original book is called.
Wow.
Wait, and, Larry, you got a good PCP story?
A PCP
story?
You ever
do PCP? I mean, you said you started with it, you know?
So, yeah, I mean, I did a bong hit one. Oh, so I don't do, like, PCP was when, you know, I did, you know, the 25 hits, and I've grabbed a couple of telephone poles, and
what's,
you know,
the 25 hits? What's that?
The 25 hits is, you know, the little hash pipes, you know, it's called, what do they call it? What do they call the PCP?
Angel dust?
Angel dust, yeah. Thank you. And that was it, you know, that was my first, I was 12, you know, 13 in San Dimas hitting that stuff, but, you know, it was what we did for a while. Somebody stabbed themselves, you know, in the group, and we stopped doing it. And, you know, it was like, you know, but you know, I was like hang out with the older people. But you know, fast forward, I the brain gets a little, you know, I stopped doing acid because, you know, my trips were like a little too much because that speed fucks you up after a while. But anyway, I'm with these people at this house. We're all doing tweak, and I got the sack, and they go, and they're taking bong hits of some weed, right? And I smell weed. I don't smell PCP. I smell weed.
And you know PCP. You know that smell.
You know
smell.
That hit. And so
paint thinner.
Whatever happens, I'm not paying attention to what's going on. It switches up, and it hands me the bong. And it's one of them big bowls, you know. And I ain't hit a bong, you know, in a long, you know, I hit bongs my whole life. But this is, I'm like 40. I'm 40-something. You know, I can't. And I hit this, and I don't know. And I remember it looked like homegrown, you know. Like, what the fuck is it? And I... fuck, you know, it was like a big old hit. Oh shit, you know, I already knew, like, what the fuck, you know, like, yeah, you know, like, yeah. And I barely know the people, you know, but they're buying my dope and shit. So all of a sudden, I don't know what kind of really happened, because I'm under one of the grandmother's bed, I'm underneath it, and they're pulling me out. I don't even know what's going on, and I'm like, and I come, you know. Yeah, dude, it was like real bad. And I remember getting it. They just took me to the car. They took my keys and they stay in the car. Do not go anywhere. And it was like, you know, look, like I was a fish in a fucking, you know, you know, the fish story. But, you know, I was like, what the, you know, that shit was nasty.
Wow. Damn.
I can't do it.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yeah.
Can we hear it?
Well, I mean, a ghost, I heard. I mean, I seen tree people.
No.
I mean, really, they're really there. I mean, it's, I seen them. I mean.
Let's hear it.
Well, here's the story that I'm driving this beat up truck I have. This is like not that long ago, 10 years ago.
I remember that you're truck. Loaded.
Yeah, I'm loaded. Yeah. I've been like on a good one. And it's like a bunch of shit in the truck, in the back truck, but it's like it's got a king cab. It's a beat up. I'm scrapping. That's what I do. And I'm scrapping. And people are after me. I'm in the Rose Bowl. Like, I always think like the Rose Bowl's haunted. Like, it's like dark. You know, you got, I've stood up there at the, you know, at the bridge, you know, where before they put the gate up and stuff, I used to sit up there and look down at all the people that jumped. And, you know, it's all haunted. Mm-hmm. There's some shit going on. There's some like vibe. The vibe is like, and I'm coming out of that. It's called Skunk's Grove. My mom always called it Skunk's Grove. And it's just, they have bathrooms and stuff down there, and I'm cleaning up, and I just get in, and I got this, you know, and I look in the, and I'm getting taken off, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and I see it. I see Satan. He's in the back. He's red. He's got horns, and he's looking evil. And I'm like, oh, fuck, you know, because I know I'm fucking, it just, but, and I keep looking, and he just keeps nodding his head, and I'm looking, I'm like, okay, you know, I know it's, this is just, I'm on dope. I know it's just bullshit, but it's just getting too real. And I'm driving, and I'm like, and he just leans forward, and I can see him like he's right here, you know? And he's like, he goes, I'm really here, motherfucker.
Damn.
And I can feel his breath, dude. Wow. You know, and he's right in my ear, and damn, I can feel it. So what, you know, I just jump out of the car, like, you know. No, he wasn't there, you know. But I swear to God, I thought he was, you know? And yeah, that's, you know.
That's
and there's a lot of stories, I mean. I did a lot of dope, you know. I did a lot of. I slammed it. My sister and my sister and my mom seen it, you know. She would have to see me just like. I remember, the house over there in East Pasadena. She has the chain. She has one of the chains up there. I'm over there. I've been up for days trying to get some sleep, and she says, "Do not fuck up my house." You know, she's pissed that I'm there. She's like, takes. You know, I stole a couple rings from mom and stuff, you know, because I'm that kind of dope fiend. When at the end, I ain't got no hustle. So she's like, got everything in her bedroom locked, right? And she's locked up in a bedroom. And I'm out in the house, and she's asleep now. She sleeps hard, and I'm just geeked out. It's 3 a.m, and there's somebody out in the fucking thing. I got this 410 shotgun, right? You know, just, and I'm like, I'm looking out this, you know, down her driveway. And as I'm looking down her driveway, I could see this, you know, this car pulls up, and she lived in a dead-end street, so it was all about this car. I'm geeked out, and I'm tripping, and I'm ready to open the door, and here comes my mom. She goes, what's going on? I'm like, oh, don't fucking, you know. So now she's in my tweak, you know what I mean? She's, like, with it, too, you know what I mean? And there's nobody out there, by the way. Nothing's going on. And she's put the chain on this like, little door, and I go to open up the door. Yeah, when I open up the door, the chain, it smacks up. I think somebody had kicked the door in, and pow, the fucking gun goes off. Like, no. My mom's in the ground. Poor my mom.
Oh, damn.
My poor mom. You know, she'd been through, yeah, almost blew it. She's like, what the fuck? You know, the police are on the way. I'm running down the street, you know.
Oh, damn, man.
She had to explain that one, you know.
But mamas always support us all the way through.
Man, my mom been through hell.
I'm on too. Yeah. I'm on too, man. It's intense what we put him through. And then you clean for a while and you're like showering with gifts and you're like, oh, let me take you to lunch and do all the things and stuff. It's just a miracle, the program that you're clean and you made it through and you as well, Chris. But me too, that like, you know, I was, the miracle hit me like it did for Danny in 2014 when I walked into that treatment center with a fucking black eye. Arm full of dope. I couldn't get high. I'm driving around. Mikey's waiting for me. Come on, man. We're waiting for you. I stop at every grocery store, gas station to fix. I show up there out front. He's like, welcome to your new home. And I got a black eye and I just like throw up. Right on Melrose Avenue in front of the, he's like, welcome to your new home. I'm just like high as a kite. I throw up. Go inside and the journey started, man. And I got clean and I stayed clean because like you said, I did everything they told me to do. When I started trying to do my old little hustle shuffle, like, no, I need to go back to work in the fashion industry. I got a job waiting for me. I got to make money. I got to pay my bills. They nearly whooped my ass. Mikey and all of us were like fucking arguing it out in a little office. And it got physical, man. And I'm like, all right. You know, I'll stay. They took my computer, my phone, and my plan away from me. And I stayed. And through that, you know, I built a foundation where I... you know, built a life and met my wife and I have these little girls and my mom got to see all that, you know?
Right.
And then when my mom was leaving to, you know, move on to the next life, I got to step up because I too was like not allowed at the house and, you know, the alarm was changed and it was like the alarm company knew like if Reno's there, don't, you know what yeah. I mean? Whatever. There were times in my life where it was like that at my childhood home, you know?
Right.
But in the end, it wasn't like that. You know what I mean? I was clean a very long time and I was able to care for my mom and show up and be supportive.
She had the same voice as him too.
Yeah.
She did. She did. Yeah, she had
awesome.
And she looked like Peggy Bundy from the.
I love that. I only met her the one time.
She was a fucking saint, like you're talking about, man. They put up with
my
her
mom,
shit.
Man. My mom's turning 90 coming up, man. And he just met her. We were just over there, and she's like.
Is she in Pasadena?
She's in Arcadia now.
Yes. Nice.
But
that's a miracle, man.
She, you know, what a lady, you know, what she's been through, you know. I'm so grateful for it.
I think we're good, guys. Thanks.
Wait, Chris. Right? You ever do PCP?
No, I tried it like a couple times. One hit is enough. Two hits, and I'm a freaking wreck.
Yeah.
So yeah, one hit, and then that's it. We can roll with that. I'm not a big PCP guy. No,
I wasn't either. But like you, I smoked it probably for 96 days straight. How about you ever seen a ghost?
It's funny you ask that because one, I don't believe in ghosts,
uh-huh.
but two, I do believe in spirits. And the second step says we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Uh-huh.
So I need God's blood, the blood of Christ, to remove the demons of addiction. Because when I smoke some dope or drink some alcohol or shoot some fucking meth, I demonize myself.
Straight
and we say a lot like, the disease of addiction, but anytime I heard the word disease, I just replace it with the demonic realm because really that's what we're doing. Anything that will make you steal from your mother, pimp out your girlfriend, disregard what the doctor says, disregard what the judge says, and puts me on this plateau where getting high is more powerful than my children, my sanity, my freedom, and I basically demonize myself, you know. And so I remember one time that I was coming back from kind of like the same moment I had at the dope spot, right? Just looking at everybody. Everybody's lame. We're waiting for dope. I'm just done, right? I'm just done. I remember going back to my mom's house, right? I had a pipe in my pocket that was full of dope. And I walked in, and my mom is a saint. My mom is like my best friend, the best mom you could ever ask
for.
I remember walking into the room, and I said, Mom, she's watching novella. She's watching, you know, probably whatever the hell she's watching. I'm like, Mom, I'm done. And I really meant it. I didn't follow through with the recovery part and all that stuff, but I meant it in my heart. I remember saying, Mom, I'm done. And she goes, thank God. And she had that moment, right? And I remember I put the bag on the table. It was in a brown paper bag. I go, Mom, throw that away. And I remember her hugging me, right? And me crying uncontrollably. And it was that kind of cry where it was like, where you're like, you're blubbering, right? And as I'm hugging her, as God is my witness, I'm hugging her and I can feel like a presence come out of me. And it was only when I was holding her that I was able to like, it was almost like the best thing I could say was like an invisible snake, right? And it was just coming out. And when I was embracing her, it was like the power of God and the power of my mother and me just wanting that was enough to expel it, right? And that's kind of what the second step does, right? I need God's power to remove it.
Mm-hmm. It's wild, nothing, nice, heavy.
There's nothing that can remove that.
Yeah.
Except your higher power, which I call Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
And I remember that happening, and it got to the point where it's like, it was going on for a minute, man. It was going on for, we're talking 20, 15 minutes, maybe more. And I left my mom black and blue, and she needed to take a break. I remember like, she goes, okay, let me go. And the crazy part is that when she walked away from me to take like a little 5-minute break, I was like, Mom, like, we're not done. I could tell that I still got more to go. And she's like, come on. And I could like almost control it to the point where I can like, between the two of us, it was like, and it was coming out, man. It's the craziest thing. And I remember my mom said after it was all said and done, she's like, how did you know? And I'm like, I didn't.
It's like Green Mile shit.
But it was.
Right?
But it was
an exorcism.
It was evident, right? And that's kind of what you're looking for. And the steps is like, I need that to happen. 6 days later, I go underneath the bridge to see what's going on. and I put it right back in.
Man.
Right? I put it right back in. But I only share that with like certain it's people.
Demonic. It is demonic.
Yeah. It's totally demonic.
I mean, look at the motherfuckers on the corner, you know? They're fucking screaming at themselves. They're possessed.
I was demonic. Guy. Yeah. I was that guy.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Yeah. No, you're spot on with totally that, demonic. Man. It's portals or something. It opens up. I remember that shit. I'd be like, you know, I at one point in time, I lived with this buddy of mine and his girlfriend for like a week or two in this apartment in downtown Riverside. Downtown Riverside's fucking sketchy. It's out there, the fucking people. It's like dark and fucking hot wind blowing, and they're just like, everyone's just looking to fucking get something from you. Just like, you know what I mean? It's like a landscape of fucking meth addicted fucking demons, bro.
Yes, you
know
what I mean? Bro.
And that's the Inland Empire. Right, listen, I got a lot of love for where I came up from and grew up from. But there were a lot of us that were just, you know, caught up in that, man. And it was, you know, it's like, I don't know if it's like, it's like what you're doing is what you're seeing, you know what I mean? And you're just kind of that energy and you're just fucked up. But we hit the lottery. You know what I mean? We hit the lottery. Yeah, we got a shot. You know, we're here today and free from the horrors of active addiction. You know?
My problems today are so unbelievable.
Yeah. Cadillac problems.
These kind of problems.
Flat tire on his dune buggy.
Yeah. Stuck in the middle of the desert, you know, with the buggy.
I bought his old dune buggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to Pismo in what, 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. See what I'm talking about? That's
wild, man. That's what's going on.
I was with Camille.
If it wasn't for this program and God and everything else, we'd be in a garage right now fucking like, be like, hey, hand me that hustler.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's all stuck together. Yeah, Camille, yeah. I had a thing.
Is anybody in the bathroom? Yeah.
I had a thing with Camille where I was like, fuck, got I gotta, propane? You know, I'm talking to her and she goes, she's like, what are you tripping on? I'm like, fuck, you know, somebody called out. I got to fucking figure out this schedule thing and every, you know, and she was like, dude, you own a fucking business. And like, you're talking about like scheduling people for like a business that you own. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. You know, like this is the same place. They wouldn't let me in the bathroom here, you know? Yeah. Same fucking
the
spot.
The same place where you were like walking by the meeting, like, I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think I'm all right. Y'all need God, you know, I'm good.
I'll use the bathroom and fucking almost die here. But like, you fucking own the place today, man. That's a wild story.
Yeah. Wait, Larry, you got one more story that Keith mentioned to us.
What's that?
The fire hydrant.
Oh, that's not my story.
That's his buddy's story.
That's my buddy's story. Yeah.
He can tell it though.
Tell the story.
Yeah, it was just a quick.
Right.
You know, I'm a tweaker.
We
can
do
trade,
a whole
right?
series about scrapping.
It's about scrap, right? And, and he told the story, so it was like, you know, it's like I want to hear it. You know?
Yeah.
And he was like, it was a fire hydrant it was like a decorative piece in this lady. You know, He slept in the riverbed over there by Picker Park, you know, over there by...
Irwindale?
Yeah, not Irwindale, Picker Park. It's the one on...
San Fernando?
Peck Road.
Yeah,
Peck Road
Elmani.
Right there.
I
that's
was going to say
Park.
Glen Avon.
Yeah, and there's that little pond or that little reservoir back there. He slept back there, and he would walk back and forth, right? And if you go down the line where these people's backyard was, and he would always look at this, you know, this...
Fire hydrant,
brass fire hydrant, right? Heavy. So he, one day he said, fucking, I'm getting it, you know? And he jumped over the fence and he goes to lift it. He can't lift the thing. It's like, I don't know, 400 pounds, you know? And he drug it over there. And with his bare hands all night, because, you know, when we get on one, we're going to get it, right? We're not going to get away. And he dug with his hands, his bare hands, and dug a hole underneath. So he can, you know,
roll it under.
He can roll it under and then drug that thing all the way back to his tent and then got somebody, you know. And then we're talking about this is a night event. This is a one night event, you know, because it's like 400
he's
pounds. Like how do you draw that? You know,
he's like the Egyptians and fucking with pulleys and shit. Fucking like,
I mean, that's his story. He told it to me, but. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I bet he got a pretty penny for that thing.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
All right.
I got a teener. Yeah, I'll give you a teener for you. Yeah.
I mean,
it's always a teener. Yeah. It's always a fucking teener. Yeah.
Everything was a half a teener.
Yeah.
That reminds me of this funny ass story. This, I don't want to say his name, put him on blast. I hope that he's sober today because him and his brother were two of the funniest motherfuckers I ever knew. And they lived in this wild ass house in Norco. And, he was always real funny like me and like, you know, not taking the shit too seriously. And he had some power tools. And he took him to this kind of like serious older, like kind of Hessian, like Hesher, like fucking dealer, you know, that had like a muscle car and fucking still lived in his mom's pad, but like took himself real seriously, you know, this old like speed dealer from fucking back in the day. And he brought these power tools to him, and the guy, real serious, like looks at him. He's like, "I'll give you a ball for him." And he's all, "Fuck that, I'll take a teenth." Just for the goof.
Yeah.
Just for the goof. Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
That was fun.
Fuck. Well, yeah. Well, hey, you guys, thank you so much. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks,
appreciate
Larry. Thanks, Chris, for coming out. Really, man.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's thanks, fellas. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, but thank you guys for listening at home. We're back. We're recording episodes. Yeah. We got some good guests coming up, so like and subscribe. Yeah, we'll have one day we'll have Patreon going again. We got a bunch of Patreon stories that we got a video we'll have going soon. We have a potential new location where we'll be able to get video going. But until then, we're just real stoked to be with you. Love you all. Thanks, guys. My name is Danny, and it's all bad.
Right on.
Later. Yeah.
See ya.